This is easy to do, and because it is so easy, it should be done on every transaction. You'll never be in as good a negotiating position as when your customer commits to you before you have to commit to him. It's easy to do if you 1. Pay close attention to your language, 2. Treat it matter-of-factly, and 3. Understand that customers expect it and are surprised when you don't ask for it. It's important to do so you'll know you're working, and you can tell your Pawnee credit reps that you're working, on a transaction that the customer is prepared to go ahead with. Keep in mind, too, that the customer is used to this in almost any other part of his business, particularly with his bank. Banks rarely give formal approval without a formal, signed term sheet or commitment agreement. After reviewing the application in your office, but before putting any significant time or resources into it, simply tell your customer, "Mr. Prospect, we've done our initial review and I don't see any problems with the application." Pause. "Of course, I won't get the actual formal approval code, number, okay, go ahead, whatever phrase you like, from my underwriters until I submit the necessary paperwork and initial payments. Mr. Prospect, if for any reason the lease is not accepted, all that will be promptly refunded to you." Note, I never used the words required or commitment. Now, occasionally, you'll be competing with another broker who isn't smart enough to ask for some type of commitment from the customer before he invests his valuable time, or you'll be dealing with a customer or a vendor who's had a prior bad experience with a broker or funder who wouldn't return a deposit even though they couldn't do the lease. You need to be ready to deal with that situation. The temptation here for most brokers is to back down and back off of the request as a sign of good faith, to demonstrate that the customer won't have that worry with them. Of course, that demonstrates nothing of the kind. It also separates you from the consultant type of role you'd like to be cultivating with the customer and puts you on opposite sides. Think about it. If you don't collect anything, the customer doesn't ever see that you would have handled it responsibly and professionally, so it doesn't show you're better than whoever they've dealt with in the past at all. And if you back off your request because of problems he's had with other people, you're acknowledging that it is, in fact, a legitimate worry the customer should have in this present situation with you too, and he'll now have reason for concern and be watching you extra carefully. Now he feels you're someone to watch, not someone to trust. In short, you will not have dealt with the customer's concerns, nor will you have found out that the customer is ready to act, which, as we know, is the purpose of collecting some money anyway. Dealing with that situation need not be difficult at all, and will present you with a tremendous sales opportunity if you remember two things. First, any customer who's made up their mind to go ahead knows they have to pay for what they want and will not be surprised or offended to be asked for money before you start processing their order. Only someone who's not fully committed yet ever hesitates to write a check. Isn't that exactly what you're trying to find out? Second, if he's had a bad experience, he wants to know and he hopes that you're different from whoever he's dealt with previously. Now is your chance to tell him how you are. This is a great time to bring in references and testimonials. You should have some written ones with you at all times or available for immediate faxing or emailing if you're on the phone. And not just one or two either. You should show or send at least a dozen. We have a book of almost 100 we use. If you're a member of the NAELB or some other professional association, now's the time to tell him what that means. In the case of the NAELB, you should have a copy of the member's code of ethics handy to show him or send him, and you should know it well enough to quote from it. Paragraph 2 deals specifically with this issue, and I've used it many times as a very effective closing tool. Listen. "Mr. Prospect, as you can see here, I've committed to handling your funds." Note that they're his funds. "Responsibly and account fully for them. There's only three reasons I'd ever be entitled to keep them if your lease didn't close. First is if you agree that I've earned them. Second is to cover my actual expenses. If you don't go ahead with this after I do the work I need to have it approved and set up for you, Mr. Prospect, do you want it to cost me anything?" You know, I've never had anyone say yes to that. "The only other reason is if you defrauded me, Mr. Prospect. I don't think that's going to be the case, is it?" That's a powerful, powerful closing device, folks. You who aren't using it, or worse, actively avoiding it, are missing a great chance to make yourself stand out from the crowd as a true professional.